Good morning to each one of you, and special good morning to mothers this morning. What a blessing you are. A young man was walking through a supermarket, and he encountered a lady that was staring at him, and she was an elderly lady, and she kept looking at him as he's picking out a few items. He just had two items to get. It was a bag of chips and a box of cereal. And the lady kept looking at him, and then she would move on, and then she'd stare at him, and he was getting kind of unnerved by this, and he thought, well, whatever. So he started heading to the checkout line, and here the lady that was looking at him, she got right in front of him as he's getting in line. Well, it's a long line, so he's sitting there waiting, and whatever. She's an elderly lady. I'll let her, you know, get her stuff done, and she had quite a few things, but as the line went on, she turned and looked at him again, and he's kind of, you know, whatever. And then she finally talked to him. She said, pardon me. She said, I'm sorry if my staring at you makes you uncomfortable. She said, because I you look just like my son, and I haven't seen him for a long time. And tomorrow's Mother's Day, and I'm not going to see him. And so the guy felt bad, you know, about thinking bad things about her because you know, she's going through this. And he goes, oh, that's such a shame. He said, you know, what can I do for you? Can I help you at all? And she said, well, she goes, yeah, actually, you could. She said, when I go out of the store, she said, my son used to work here. And you know, when I shopped here, you'd say, goodbye, Mom, as I left the store. And would you do the same thing for me as I go out the door? And he said, yeah, sure, I'll do that. So she went through the line and got all of her stuff, and she headed for the door, and he comes up next, you know, to purchase his two items, and she's making her way out the door, and he said, goodbye, Mom, and she turns around and says, thank you, son, as she went out the door, and the checkout lady is doing his stuff, and she says, the total will be $127.50. And he says, how can that be? And he said, well, your mom said you'd pay for it. You know, we have a lot of respect for mothers because of what they have done. You know, we can't even fathom sometimes the things that the sacrifices that they've made for us and impacts our lives and even if you didn't have a godly mother or a mother that was there for you, you see that example in people around you. You see people caring for one another and the hurts that people are going through and that motherly instinct takes over and many women will help other children. And it's such a godly aspect and it's such an encouragement and it's a love that Christ gives to women, and it's such a blessing. This morning, I'm so thankful to have an opportunity to share my testimony with you. The blessing that I have had in having a godly mother has impacted me greatly. The prayers and the sacrifice that she's made for me has been tremendous, and as well as seeing the example of my wife as well, and in her raising of our children as well, and in her sacrifices for us, what a blessing. As I said, my mom and dad, they cared for us greatly, all of us children, and took very good care of us and brought us to church and sacrificed so much for us and were a godly example to us. And I had the opportunity to see God working in their lives and seeing the scriptures and knowing the scriptures from a child and seeing that God had impacted their lives through his word. And it was the active word. But for me, it never really hit home. It never became real in my life. It became a head knowledge. I understood, I saw God's word being active in someone's life. I saw what God does for somebody, how he changes lives, but that experience had never happened in my life. And as I got married and we began to have children, you know, our desire was to raise godly children, and my wife, you know, she sadly to say had to carry the ball because I, in my inadequacy, trying to be a Christian, trying to do the right things, I failed continually, and it was a time where I felt like I could not please anyone. I couldn't do the right thing. I couldn't raise my children right. I couldn't please my wife. I couldn't teach Sunday school. I didn't think the right way. I couldn't. I was a deacon in this church. I served on the call committee, and these things were frustrating for me. I preached, and it was so hard. It was so hard to preach the Word of God because it was something that was a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. And Marvie reminded me this morning of sharing my testimony in the smaller part of the church years ago, and that was so difficult for me because how do I come up with a testimony that's going to impact people's lives, hearing that when people have experienced it, but then trying to copy that? And it's hard because you don't know what it really means to have Christ in your heart. You see it, but you don't know it. You've never experienced it. As we raised our children, the expectation was that you, for children, are to be godly. To be here, I'm a deacon in the church. I'm a Sunday school teacher. There's this expectation, and unreasonable expectation that my children should be acting like this. They should be like this. And I was teaching my children that godly behavior would be their salvation, when in fact salvation brings about godly behavior. I'm going to say that one more time. Listen to that very carefully, because this was my mistake. I was teaching my children that godly behavior would be their salvation, but in fact salvation is what brings about godly behavior. As I tried to raise my children that way, and as they got older, the expectations were too much, and they obviously would rebel from that. They would challenge me in that, and it would lead them astray in what God would want for their lives. That's what it would be all about. And as I was at that time a deacon in this church, it was hurtful to me to have children that were acting out that way. It was a punishment on my pride. And we had gone to this church for many years, and I felt that I couldn't live up to the expectation then of a deacon. And so I took our family and we left. We left this congregation, and because of my selfish pride. And my desire to try and serve and to be a godly man was a hopeless failure. I offended so many people. So many people. And as I did that, I hurt the closest people in my life. I think about it as a dog that's got a chain around his neck and he's tied to a tree. And he barks at everybody as he goes by, as he's running. It's basically what I was doing. Nothing was my fault. Everything was to blame everyone else for what was going on in my life. And as I barked and as I went around that tree, the chain got shorter. And that's what was going on in my life. Not only was I raising my children wrong, but I was a horrible failure as a husband to my wife. The expectations were ridiculous. And, you know, how painful for her to constantly be praying for me, for showing Christ's love to me through that whole time. And as I saw that in her, I became more angry with her, more bitter towards her. And on September 22nd of this last year, it was my dad's birthday. It should have been a very wonderful day celebrating with my family. And I raised an issue that was stupid and caused a fight in our home. And I was so angry and so frustrated with everything that was going on in my life that I thought the only answer was to get rid of my wife, to divorce her. And I grabbed her purse, I grabbed her keys, and I physically removed her from our home. And I said, you come back when you've changed. I had no idea what I was doing. No idea. Satan had filled me with so much lie, so much anger in my life, so much pride, that I had no idea what I was doing. How sad. You can't imagine the burden that I put upon my children to do this. Yet they continue to love me through that. I remember that night that I escorted my wife from our home, and she went to my brother's place where they were having the birthday party, and obviously a shock to what was going on. And that night, my children were home with me, and I put this guilt trip upon my children. I said, if Mom wants to come home, then we won't get a divorce. But if she doesn't come home tonight, it's all over. And my wife was scared of me. Why would she come home? I had just thrown her out of our house. I had emotionally hurt her so much. And people were advising her, as they should have, to not to come home to me, this dictator, this hateful person. And so my children are sending texts to her to come home. And what a guilt trip I put upon them. How horrible. And she didn't come home. So the next day, I went to work with the idea that it was over. Our marriage was over, and that I was going to get a divorce. And so my mentality all day at work was to find a lawyer to begin this process and to finally get rid of this person that's causing me all this anguish and this pain. When in fact she was showing the love of Christ to me, and I didn't want to see it. And as I came home from work that day, my brother called me on the phone, and he began to, you know, explain to me what I'd done wrong, and I didn't want to hear it. I hung up on him. And he's a police officer, so he knows exactly what I had done physically to my wife, and you know how horrible a thing it was, and the damage that I had done to her. And I believe at that point, the Holy Spirit began to soften me, which I can't comprehend. I can't even understand, but I realized that I needed to call my brother back, and I called him, and I didn't get a hold of him, and then I really wanted to get a hold of him, and I called him again, and finally we got a hold of each other, and I said, can you explain to me what I did that's so wrong? Can you believe me saying that? And he began to share with me what I had done, and the Holy Spirit began to soften me, began to show me. And he said, Mark, you need to call a guy named John in Fargo, and if you really want to see what God can do in your life and change your life. And by the time I got home, I was convinced that I needed to call this guy John, and he's dealt with people that are having troubled marriages and things like that. And I got on the phone and I called John, and he began to share with me after I had told him all the horrible things that everyone else had done in my life. He shared with me that if you really want change in your life, that you need to first get on your knees and you need to pray that God will change you. And It was then that God began to convict, to show me, to, through his Holy Spirit, reveal to me what I had done. And I want you to understand something. I had prayed many prayers as a young person. I had prayed many prayers as an older person, thinking that was the time of salvation, that I was saved at that point. But as you heard, if you were here last week, you heard Pastor Dale talk about how the Holy Spirit has a perfect time for each one. And that was real in my life. When he says, today is the day. And as I got on my knees and asked God to forgive me of all these things, I knew from God's promises that it was true. Okay, I knew it was true. It was in his word. I've heard it all my life. And so I asked God to forgive me. And after that time, I got up off my knees and I called my wife, as John said, you need to call her and ask her if she will then meet with us, that we can begin to reunite your bond together. And I called my wife and I asked her for forgiveness, and she so graciously said, yes, I will meet with John and together, and we will begin this process. And I asked her to forgive me for everything that I had done to her. I then called my children and had asked them for forgiveness for what I had done to them. And they graciously forgave me. And as I'm doing this, I see the forgiveness of Christ in each one. God has made that so real to me. The forgiveness of Christ in the people around me that I've offended and I don't deserve to be forgiven. And as I called my brothers and sisters and my dad and my parents and my in-laws, who I'd offended greatly, I'd ignored my in-laws for years. They were godly people, but didn't want anything to do with them. And as each one of them, I asked for forgiveness. They graciously forgave me. And two things that happened during that time when I was calling these people, I talked to my dad, and my dad said, Mark, he said, you've gone through a lot. But he said, if you've never forgiven yourself for what you've done, you'll never get past this. And that was huge for me. I'd heard that many times, but never understood what that meant until that time. Christ had forgiven me. I know he has taken it all away and remembers my sin no more. Therefore, I need to do the same. I need to say, it's on the blood of Christ. It's no longer mine to carry. And then my sister was the last person I called, my younger sister, Holly. And Holly is the type of person that just tells you how it is. She doesn't mess around. And I called her and she said, Mark, she goes, I don't want to hear this if it isn't real. And I was like, whoa, that's like a slap in the face. And I said, no, Holly, I said, this is real. I said, she goes, I know you've been faking all of your life. She goes, I don't want to hear this if it isn't real. If it's just to get back with your family, I don't want to hear this. And I assured her that it was based off the promises of God's word. But you got to understand, I've been praying these prayers all my life, right? All my life, been in church, all my life, praying these prayers. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. But today was the day. And I was so, after I got off the phone with Holly, I was just sweating. I was so uncomfortable. I felt this rack of guilt then once again of all these prayers that I had prayed. And I walked out of my house. I was home alone and it was dark. And I came between the garage and our house. And there's a small area there. And there was a cool breeze coming through that. And I was so frustrated with all this going on and everything I got in my life that I looked up into the stars that night. And I put my arms out like this, and I said, God, this has to be real. I screamed it as loud as I could. God, this has to be real. Because I've seen it in other people, but never experienced it. And at that time, God ripped out 43 years of sin in my life. The wind came up like you read in the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit comes upon people. And he just ripped everything out of my life. I was tingling from hand to toe. It was the most wonderful thing I've ever experienced.
to have the burdens of 43 years lifted from my life and to know that I was saved, to know. And I fell on my car. I was exhausted because of everything that had gone on in my life. I was so tired of life. And I was so exhausted, and to have that experience at that time was just so wonderful. And I said, thank you, Lord, that there was room at the cross for me at that time. And as I got into my car, I had to just get in my car and just sit there. I was exhausted. I couldn't even hardly move. And then God made so real to me that this was his doing. This had nothing to do with Mark Dahl. Nothing. I had done nothing that day. I was in my sin, and God dealt with me. By his grace and his mercy, he forgave me. He cleansed me and washed me. And as I sat there praising God and glorifying his name, God, after he had whipped everything out of my life, began to fill me with verses that I had memorized as a child and songs that I had sung. And it was God filling me back up with his goodness. It was such sweet communion. And my brother, who's a police officer, I called him because Cammie was there. And I said, Brian, I got to tell you what happened to me. And as I shared it with him, he said, you sound like you're on drugs. I was so joyful. It was so wonderful to have finally experienced what I've read about all my life. I'm going to read verses that impacted me hugely right at that time. It was from Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. I know that verse. It's real. It's real. I pray it's real for you today. I pray that God, this word is not just a book. I pray that you've experienced what it means to know God personally, not just in your head, but in your heart. My wife would love to come and share now what God has done in her life. And I want to just make very clear to you that our sin not only affects herself, but others as well. And you'll see some of that from what she shares.
I'd like to start off by reading Psalm 66:16, and it says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. And as you've just heard, our family has a story to tell, to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus, because great things he has done. And he's the only one that deserves praise and glory. And I was raised by Christian parents who loved Jesus and who instructed me in ways of the Lord, and I'm so thankful for that, that I had a praying mother and praying father. I remember coming out to the kitchen in the morning, and their mom would be having her devotions and praying. I knew she was praying for me and for my sister. And I'm thankful that they faithfully brought me to church and Sunday school. And when I was in my third grade Sunday school class, I prayed to receive Jesus as my Savior. I don't remember all the details, but I just remember sitting around the table and praying with my Sunday school teacher to ask Jesus to come into my heart. From that day, I had ups and downs in my walk with the Lord through high school, and I made the decision to go to Alphabas, the Bible school down in Minneapolis, and Mark and I met and began dating and were married. And then we began to raise our own family. And although I had a relationship with Jesus, I have to say I didn't love him with my whole heart. I didn't rely on him as my all in all. I didn't treasure him the way I ought to have. And I regret that I couldn't impart more of that love upon my children. I regret that with my whole heart. But I'm thankful that I can point that this is why I need Jesus. And a big sin in my life is the sin of worry. I can worry about everything. And God is slowly helping me to overcome that. And I've come to understand that worry is basically a lack of trust in the Lord. And I regret the fact that I didn't impart upon my children, hey, you can trust God to work this out. You know, I would get frustrated and worry and have outbursts of anger, and all because of my sin of worry. But I am overcoming this through Jesus. And we as moms, we have a big responsibility to impart, you know, biblical truth to them. And I just encourage you moms, take heed to take that job seriously and to live it out for them. And as our boys got older into the older grades of high school, when we started to have difficulties, I questioned God. Why would you let this happen? What have I ever done to deserve this? Why would you let this happen to me? I don't understand. I don't want this. This isn't how my life is supposed to turn out. This isn't how my kids' life is supposed to turn out. Why, Lord? And I began to enter a deep and dark depression. I couldn't remember what I'd said by the end of the day. I didn't know what I had done. I cried night and day. I was grieving. Oh, I was grieving. I basically withdrew from life, from everybody. I felt like I couldn't go on. And God is so good. When he promises that if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you, that is so true. And God just prompted me to spend time in his word, to draw near to him. And I especially was blessed by reading in the Old Testament, and especially the book of Psalms. Oh, I would spend a couple hours a day just meditating. I saw how it's okay to cry out to God, to give him our complaints. David did. But by the end of his prayer, he would come back to praising Jesus, praising the Lord. And so I began to do this. I thought I would read a psalm out loud. I would begin listing off ways that I was thankful. You know, I'm thankful, Jesus, that you love me. I'm thankful that you're merciful. I'm thankful that you're gracious, that you're my creator. Thank you, you know, for my family, for everything you bestow upon me that I do not deserve. And by the end of my praise time, oh, I was filled with joy and with strength, and I knew I could face whatever Satan would bring my way that day. And I can tell you, Satan's powerful. He wants your children. He wants your marriage. He wants you. It's a spiritual warfare. But God is greater. We can overcome through the blood of Jesus. And I learned the power of intercessory prayer. I'm thankful for people praying on my behalf and on my family's behalf. I'm thankful that I could pray on behalf of my children. Moms, pray for your children. Pray for physical safety. pray especially for spiritual protection because Satan wants them. He wants to destroy. And I purposed in my heart that I would praise the Lord, that I would hope in God's word. And God would restore my spirit, and I began to have hope in the Lord. I could see that God would take what I thought were bad things and use them to bring glory to Jesus. And God made different promises to me at different times, and he was so near to me. I mean, just like if he was standing right here next to me, he would have a conversation with me. I remember one time I was outside walking. I like to commune with the Lord when I walk, and I was voicing to him my frustrations. I was literally yelling at him. Why, Lord, I feel my children being so disobedient. You tell me that you know just how I feel? You don't have children. I don't understand, Lord. How do you know how I'm feeling? And God said right in my ear, Cammy, I'm your heavenly father. You sin more in one day than your children ever do against you. I know just how you feel. And it was convicting to me, and yet I just felt his love, that he knows my pain. He knows just what I'm going through. And God slowly was bringing me out of my depression. And I began, like I said, to have hope in God's word, to see that, okay, God's going to take these things, and he's going to use them for good someday. I don't know how. But I felt this deep stirring within me. I felt this strength arise. And that God is equipping me and preparing me for one day. I knew one day I'd be standing up here. God has ordained this day. I knew I'd get testimony to the fact of the great things that God would do. I had hope in the end that God would cause bad things to work for his glory. And as God was delivering me from my depression, God also reassured me that, Cammy, just as you're dealing with things through depression and bringing you out of it, I will deliver your husband from his anger and his bitterness. You just hold on. You be patient. You rest in me. And I prayed that the Lord would keep me in love with my husband. I pray that I would not get bitter, that I wouldn't get angry. No, I was not perfect in this. You can ask my children, my husband. But overall, I knew that the Lord would be faithful to his promise that he made to me. And through some circumstances that arose, I realized it was time to get help for Mark. It was just, his anger was destroying him. It was destroying our marriage and our family. I didn't mention to anybody what things were going on in our marriage. People knew things weren't right, I'm sure. But I finally realized you need to get help. And I told some family members, and my dear sister-in-law, Erin, suggested that we meet with Harvey and Diane. And I said, well, I've thought about that for quite some time now. I didn't know if that was the right thing to do. I called Pastor Tim and Cindy, and I told them things that were going on. Pastor Tim told me, Cammy, you need to leave. You need to leave the home. I said, I can't do that. I'm not ready to do that. He said, well, have you ever considered meeting with Harvey and Diane? I said, I have considered that. I said, in fact, my sister-in-law just told me that, I think it was that day or the day before. So I decided that was my plan. Aaron and I would go meet with Harvey and Diane. And so we did one Sunday afternoon, and they graciously took us in. I got to say, I was kind of scared, not knowing how they would take this. After all, this is their son, whom they love. But they're so gracious and just showed Christ's love to me. And I said, we need to help Mark. How can we go about this? What can we do? And they recommended seeing if Brian, Mark's older brother, would come and speak with him. And you have to understand that for months, I had been praying that the Lord would send a Nathan to my Mark to show him the error in his ways so that he could be restored. And Nathan, and Brian was that Nathan. And Brian made a couple different attempts to meet with Mark, and those all fell through. It wasn't God's time. But September 22nd was Harvey's 70th birthday. It so would not have been my timing, but it was God's timing. And he worked out so many different situations, like I can't even relate them all. God just wove prayers of people together, wove circumstances together. It's just truly amazing. And when Mark called me to apologize, I knew before he finished saying the first word, which was Cammy, I knew at the ca that he was a changed man. I could hear it in his voice. I had told my sister the day before, I said, well, I know Mark will be changed. If the Lord changes him, I will hear it in his voice. And yes, like I said, God just radically changed my husband. When I saw him, he looked different. His whole countenance was different. He just radiated the love of Jesus. Everything about him has changed. When God promises he'll make all things new, oh, it's so true. I just can't thank Jesus enough to experience this miracle. It's mind-boggling why he would allow this to happen to me, to be so gracious to me. And our relationship continues to grow and to flourish. And I am so thankful. I can't help but love Jesus. I fell through this whole process. I fell in love with Jesus. And I encourage you, if you're going through a hard time, no matter what the situation is, take this time to fall in love with Jesus. Oh, I love him so much. I wouldn't necessarily want to go through the hard times again, but I am thankful that it got me to where I needed to be in my relationship with Jesus. He does all things well. I just love Jesus. Great things he has done. And to him be the honor and the glory. And I don't know what our future holds, but we know that God has put this desire within Mark and me to help others. We hurt if you hurt. We want to help. We want to encourage you. We want to pray for you. We just love you all. I thank you for welcoming us back into your fellowship. What a blessing. And may God just be praised for the great things he has done. And I'd like to close by reading Revelation 5:12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. I just thank you, Jesus.
Our God is the God of miracles. I want to close with apologizing to you as a church for sin that I've committed against you. There's families here that I've offended, that I've had the privilege of asking for forgiveness, and what a wonderful thing to be forgiven. But as a whole, our sin affects other people. And if I've offended you in many different ways, I apologize. It's so important to be right with those around us, to have that sweet fellowship with God. That's so important. I thank the Lord for Pastor Dale, for his encouragement to me, for his prayers, for your prayers, for us as we left. And now as we've come back, your love just is shown forth from Christ. It's been so, so amazing to be restored. I want to share from Ephesians chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, these are awesome verses. I'm going to close with them, because I titled our talk this morning, "But God Does Miracles." But God Does Miracles. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God," key verse, "but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That's my testimony right there. You see, the old, the death, the dying, the Satan's controlling my life, and then you see, but God, God does the miracle. Mark Dahl did nothing, but receive the grace of God, the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Praise him today. I pray you have that hope. But God does miracles. Call out to him today if you have not. He's waiting. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants to give you new hope. He wants you to have the reason to live, so that you may be his workmanship, his active ministry. That's who the Christian is, the active ministry of God. What a joy. As Cammie said, we look forward to what God's going to do. Whatever, Lord, whatever. We're ready. Whatever you want, Lord. Mothers, you're a blessing. And with God in your life, wow, what an impact you can have. What an impact. The prayers, the compassion that only Christ gives will just flow. I thank God for mothers today. I praise God. Will you pray with me? Lord, you are so good. You're so merciful. You're so gracious.
And Lord, we have the hope in you because of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness, the power of the resurrection that cleanses and washes the lost. Lord, we just pray that if you're working in the heart of someone today, Lord, that they would just cry out to you. God, you change lives. And we just ask that your Spirit has been working here. God, I thank you for mothers. I thank you for their prayers. I thank you for their love, their compassion. Pray, Lord, that you would bless each one that's here. Pray that you would give them the strength that they need. Lord, they need strength every day to deal with the trials and the struggles of life. Give them a special blessing today, that you may use them, Lord, for the furtherance of your kingdom, so that you and you alone would be glorified. That's what this morning's all about. It's all about your glory. And so we praise your holy name today. In your name we pray. Amen.